Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I will sing forever of your love, come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praise.
Should I say love, a message on the rapture? I do. Why do I love it? It could happen today. Hallelujah. Awesome. A mystery that the Apostle Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. Nobody knows. I don't know the day, the hour. Only the Father knows." Strange thing, people don't pick that up, that as soon as the tribulation starts with a treaty, you can figure out exactly to the day when Jesus comes back. But this one keeps you in darkness. You have to be ready. Watch you. Pray for that you will be counted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass. Anybody afraid of the tribulation here? I'm not. Why? Because I got it beat. Who beat it for me? My Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How about the dead people? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall and remain shall be changed. It doesn't say disappear. How many of you watched the Left Behind movies where cars go off the road and every plane crashes? We shall disappear. No, we shall be changed. Changed into what? Into the body the Lord Jesus Christ had. And that's going to last for how long? 70 years? Nope. For eternity. It's going to be awesome. In Matthew chapter 27, look what happened. We got some that starched us off. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose, came out of the graves. After what? His resurrection. Most translations don't have that. They preach when there was an earthquake, when Jesus died, it opened up. But no, it says after the resurrection, the people rose from the graves. What did they do? Boogie off to heaven? Nope. No. They didn't have the luxury. They went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let that stick in your mind. I'll preach on it yet. So they rose from the grave. They walked into the city. What did they do? Walk around like zombies? No, they had glorified bodies. They were talking to their loved ones about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Peter had such 3,000 people at his first sermon. We barely have 20, 30, 40. How many do we have here? When I started out, there were two. So he had 3,000. Isn't that awesome? And more added to the church, because those dead people spoke to those who were alive. Remember, when Jesus preached, they hung around him till his food ran out. Then they left. And he said to the 12, "Are you going to leave too?" And they said, "No, you're the only one that has eternal life." The Old Testament speaks about that. I love it. But I got it in the New Testament. Listen to this, Isaiah 26, verse 19. "But these who die in the Lord will live. their bodies will rise again. These who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy, for your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead. Hallelujah. See, this is what happens when the light of Jesus hits. Graves cannot contain the bodies. So anybody scared of death here? Don't worry about it. It's only a shadow. I was close to it. Maybe I stumbled over the line a few times. Hey, you have nothing but joy. I can vouch for that. When it says Christ is closer in death than when we're alive, he means exactly what he says. You couldn't care about anything except what Jesus is doing and what he is showing you. The feeling that you have, you wouldn't mind if it would continue forever. But God has a timetable. We all got to follow it. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I know, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. If you're worried about it, he said, don't be ignorant. Why? What does ignorant mean? It simply means you don't know. Don't be ignorant about it. Get to know what will happen to them. That your sorrow, you sorrow even as others which have no hope. So he's admonishing the Christians. I'm telling you, those that are asleep, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. But for death is a shadow. It has been defeated. There's a song out there that James and Kathy sings that he defeated death on the cross. Hallelujah. He defeated death for me. He defeated it for me. I have absolutely no fear of death. But I can tell you one thing. Before I became a Christian, I was deadly afraid of it. You could shoot me. It wouldn't scare me. I was afraid of what will happen after I die. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So they're there now. The Apostle Paul said, oh, I wouldn't mind dying. I'd love to die, but to me, to live is for your sake, for dying is for my gain. He was looking for the gain of others, teaching them, admonishing them, encouraging them. So this is the statement he made, for me to live, but to die is Christ. Hallelujah. How many of you already have Christ? Wait till we see him as he is. You just got a vague picture. You're looking through a fog. One of these days, we'll see this God, and we're going to shout for joy. We're not going to have to practice the rapture. It'll happen instantly. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be cut up again. Wait, I got to make sure I got it right. This is powerful. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. For those who believe that Jesus coming after the tribulation, have a good time, because you're going through the tribulation if you don't watch out. But it says Christ will bring those dead with him. I was once arguing with a guy. He said, there's no animals in heaven. I said, what's the first thing you're going to see leaving heaven? A horse. Is a horse an animal? Of course it is. I love horses. Mine is going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and I'll be riding horseback. I love this one here. You go through Thessalonians 1 and 2. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What does comfort mean? If you're cast down, if you're cast out, if you're going through rough times, I want to comfort you with something. If you got $1 million in the bank and you're lying on your deathbed, I'll come to you and say, hey, don't worry. You got $1 million in the bank. Do you think that guy will care? No. But if I tell him, if you love Christ, he's coming. He's coming soon. And if you die, it's not really death. It's just a shadow. It's just something that you quit. You don't even notice that you're dead. You're going to be wondering, what am I doing here on the ceiling? What's my body doing there? I know what happened. You separated. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. Either which way, the rapture or death, it's going to be awful. Hallelujah. How do I know? I experienced one already. I experienced death. Next comes the rapture. Jesus, come quickly. I want to experience that too. Where are we going? I'm going to read one more scripture. I love this one. If you study Revelations chapter 5, study 4 and 5, just before the tribulation begins, there's millions and millions of people around the throne. The throne, it, everything is explained. Study it, read it. If you want to hide, if you want to feel good, read it, and you're going to hear something amazing. God explaining exactly how the tribulation will kick off. We are going to have a front row seat watching everything. And what makes us worthy to have that front row seat? I'll read it to you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. What seals? The bowls, the seals, all the way through the tribulation. These people will experience the wrath of God. It's not going to be pretty. You don't want to go through there. So watch you therefore, pray always. Those who are listening through the internet, pray that God will open your heart, your eyes, so that you can become one with him, so that your life is hid in Christ with God's power. You gotta do that to miss that awful time. Because if you don't miss it and you still want God, you're gonna lose your head. And that's not a good feeling from what I see anyway, when I see the stuff like that. It says here, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Hallelujah. Read, there was nobody worthy. And one angel said, yes, there is. Guess who that one is? Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the one worthy to take the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And God gives it to him. You done it, my boy. You done it. You go get him. And it says, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by what? By my works. I was working so hard. I was a pastor for half three quarters of my life. I preached the gospel. I gave my money to the poor. You should have seen me, guys. Oh, boy, except those who know me. You be quiet. But, you know, I tried. I tried. But that wouldn't have been good enough. Why? It says, you have redeemed us to God by thy blood. By the blood of Jesus, he redeemed us to God. Hallelujah. From where? From the Hutterite colony, of course. No, he didn't stop there. You're part of it. I know that for a fact. He redeemed us to God out of every tongue, kindred, people, and nation. Hallelujah. All of us are included. We all got part of that awesome eternal life that God is preparing for us. So I want to say this. We may be kind of nonchalant about this. It's nothing to be nonchalant about it. Be serious about God. If there's one thing I'm serious about, that's Jesus. Never mind God this, God that. Jesus did this. Jesus did that. You hear it on TV. God, God, God. Everybody's scared to mention that beautiful name. Why? Because it's an offense. Mention Jesus. Tell us what he did for you. And that will bring life to those who listen. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus that opens people's hearts. So open your heart to this. God loves us. He allowed his son to be murdered for us on the cross. He took your sin, my sin on the cross with him, and he nailed them there. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. What a trade-off. Man a living. That's such a sweet aroma that I smell right from here. God doing this for me. I never deserved it. I never even looked for it when I was out in the world. God found me and gave it to me. Hallelujah. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself and to your God. Hallelujah.
Street. Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.